Senator Kamala Harris's campaign has crashed and burned, and she's now out of the presidential race. The impeachment process moves to the Democrat-led House Judiciary Committee, and the Washington Post blasts First Lady Melania Trump over her fashion sense? All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday. We're going to get to Kamala Harris and her now non-existent campaign and some bizarre comments from Cory Booker. But first, I want to bring you up to date on what's going on with impeachment, because a lot has happened. You know, they had these public hearings in the Adam Schiff-led House Intelligence Committee. Well, those have wrapped up, so they had to put reports together, and both the majority, Adam Schiff-led Democrats, and a minority have put reports out. And all you have to do is look at the executive summary of the Democrat report to show you how messed up this process is, how bogus this impeachment inquiry is, and how much money and time has been wasted. Here's a portion of the executive summary from Adam Schiff's report. It says, the impeachment inquiry into Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States, uncovered a months-long effort by President Trump to use the powers of his office to solicit foreign interference on his behalf in the 2020 election. As described in this executive summary and the report that follows, President Trump's scheme subverted U.S. foreign policy toward Ukraine and undermined our national security in favor of two politically motivated investigations that would help his presidential re-election campaign. All right, there is so much wrong with that, just that one paragraph, and this report is hundreds of pages long, but just that one paragraph, first of all, that President Trump schemed to solicit foreign interference in an election. He wanted Ukraine to investigate corruption, corruption that was known, corruption that has been going on, and that is part of foreign assistance. When you give money to these foreign governments or give assistance, military or otherwise, there is this condition that it needs to be used correctly, that your country is running correctly, and that you need to investigate corruption. That's part of the deal, okay? So to say that he did this, to ask them for interference in an election, when that's part of the process, is just totally bogus. The other thing is that the summary says that President Trump tried to subvert U.S. foreign policy. President Trump is U.S. foreign policy. It's his policy. That's what the American people buy into when they elect a president. They say, lead us in on your direction domestically, lead us in your direction on foreign policy. If we don't like it, we're going to vote you out. But it's his policy. It's not bureaucrats' policy. And this whole impeachment mess was bureaucrats, deep state bureaucrats, left-leaning people that didn't like what President Trump's doing. So they try and bring him down as if they create the policy, as if they are the leaders of America, which they're not. They try to go after President Trump simply because they don't like what he's doing. It's just a mess. So on the Republican side, the Republicans on the committee put out their own report, and here's part of their executive summary. It says, the Democrats' impeachment inquiry is not the organic outgrowth of serious misconduct. It is an orchestrated campaign to upend our political system. The Democrats are trying to impeach a duly elected president based on the accusation and assumptions of unelected bureaucrats who disagree with President Trump's policy initiatives and processes. They are trying to impeach President Trump because some unelected bureaucrats were discomforted by an elected president's telephone call with Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky. They are trying to impeach President Trump because some unelected bureaucrats chafed an elected president's outside the beltway approach to diplomacy. And that's absolutely right. Again, they don't like his style. The media doesn't like his style. The left doesn't like his style. And they are all still stunned by the fact that Hillary Clinton is not president. They have never gotten over it. And so from day one, even before day one, as we'll talk about, Barack Obama had President Trump's campaign team under investigation for bogus circumstances. So when you talk about the Democrats and their reasons for this impeachment, that he's trying to go after a political opponent. Well, Joe Biden's not above the law. He and his son are deeply involved in Ukraine corruption, and it deserves to be investigated. President Barack Obama investigated Trump's campaign under bogus circumstances. He was just running for office like Joe Biden is now, and President Trump's team was investigated. Let's investigate the Bidens, all right? That's the big deal here. That's the big Ukraine connection, and that's where the real investigation needs to go. So what happens next, all right? Today, there's going to be hearings. Now, it moves. This report is taken over to the House Judiciary Committee, and they will be interviewing a bunch of left-wing liberal activists to give their opinions on whether this report warrants moving forward with actual impeachment. Here's a report from Fox News. It says, the Democrat-led House Intelligence Committee late Tuesday voted to adopt and issue its scathing report on the findings from the panel's impeachment inquiry, accusing President Trump of misusing his office to seek foreign help in the 2020 presidential race. The 13-9 party line vote on the 300-page report was a necessary step before the document could be transferred to the House Judiciary Committee, which is scheduled to begin taking up the case with its formal impeachment hearing Wednesday morning. However, a senior member of the Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's leadership team told Fox News in the evening that it seems unlikely the House can vote on impeachment before Christmas, saying it's too complex of a process. So yesterday afternoon, Republicans held a press conference, since this report is now moving to the Judiciary Committee, and GOP leader Kevin McCarthy reminded everyone on what Nancy Pelosi said just back in March of this year regarding impeachment.
There is something that the Speaker has said just this year that I think unites the entire nation. What she said, I think almost everybody agrees with, exactly right here. Impeachment is so divisive to the country that unless there's something so compelling and overwhelming and bipartisan, I do not think we should go down the path because it divides the country. March 11th, 2019.
So that's what Nancy Pelosi said, compelling, overwhelming, and bipartisan. And this has been none of those, and yet the Democrats are still moving forward. And as I talked about before, this is a loser effort. This is a loser issue. They are losing Democrats. They've lost independents and members of their own caucus. 30-plus Democrats are serving in the House right now in districts that went for President Trump in 2016. So if they vote for impeachment, you know, they might as well pack their bags because they're going to be gone. So next, I want to talk about someone else who's gone, and that's Kamala Harris. She is out of the presidential race. Again, she was, when she first announced in those early months of the campaign, she was the darling. She was the one that was going to take on President Trump. Turns out, she couldn't even take on Tulsi Gabbard. She got blasted in those debates, and ever since then, she's been going downhill. Well, now she's closed up shop, called it quits, and here's a report from the Washington Examiner. It says, Kamala Harris has bowed out of contention in the 2020 Democrat presidential nomination. I've taken stock and looked at this from every angle, and over the last few days have come to one of the hardest decisions of my life. My campaign for president simply doesn't have the financial resources we need to continue, she wrote in an email to supporters. I'm not a billionaire. I can't fund my own campaign. And as the campaign has gone on, it's become harder and harder to raise money that we need to compete. So in addition to that email, she also tweeted this out. She said, to my supporters, it is with deep regret, but also with a deep gratitude that I am suspending my campaign today. But I want to make it clear to you, I will keep fighting every day for what this campaign has been about. Justice for people, all the people. So the reaction to her dropping out was quite interesting. It was across the board. There was a lot of people coming forward congratulating Tulsi Gabbard for taking it to Kamala Harris to the point where Kamala Harris had to drop out. And Trump's response team, President Trump's response team, had this tweet. They said, breaking news, Kamala Harris has ended her campaign for president. Congratulations, Tulsi Gabbard. And I also wanted to share this reaction, and this is from Cory Booker. And if you don't recall the name, he's actually still in the race for president. He's actually still running. He hasn't dropped out yet, even though you never hear from him. So he was talking about Kamala Harris dropping out, and take a look at these comments and we'll go over them because it's just bizarre and it shows the whole skewed, twisted thinking of the left.
Today, I'm a little angry, I have to say, that we started with one of the most diverse fields in our history, giving people pride. And it's a damn shame now that the only African-American woman in this race who has been speaking to issues that need to be brought up is now no longer in it. And we're spiraling towards a debate stage that potentially we're still fighting to get on it, but could have six people with no diversity whatsoever.
All right. So to me, that was just weird. For one thing, if I were Kamala Harris, I'd be insulted because he's basically saying that she needs to be up there because she's black. And that's what she brings to the table. That's her diversity of skin color is what gives her merit, warrants her being on the stage, which is just insulting. The other thing that he said is that he said this next debate is spiraling to a stage of six people who have no diversity at all. Okay, so think about that. This next upcoming debate will have men and women, young and old, far left and moderate, gay and straight, and he says there's no diversity. So it just shows you that when it comes to diversity, they're only talking about one thing. That's the only thing that matters. And the actual diversity of the group that will be on stage is widespread. There's a number of backgrounds, and it doesn't matter to folks like this. So there's Cory Booker. He'll probably drop out soon anyway, and good riddance to him too. So next I want to talk about the Washington Post and what they said about Melania Trump. She just announced and showed people her Christmas theme for this year. And the Washington Post did a story on it. And what did they do? They attacked Melania Trump for what she was wearing. I mean, these people are vicious. It didn't matter what Michelle Obama did. They were always praising her, regardless of what she said, what she wore. And now they go after Melania Trump, who has this a super awesome, elevated sense of fashion and style. They go after her for what she was wearing. Here's a report from the Washington Times. It says, Senator Marco Rubio on Tuesday slammed the left-wing media's deranged criticism of First Lady Melania Trump's Christmas decorations at the White House. Even the White House Christmas decorations triggers deranged criticism, the Florida Republican tweeted. Does anyone in the world of major media have enough self-awareness to realize the damage their hatred of real Donald Trump is inflicting on them and journalism? Well, Rubio's right. This is deranged. And here's more of what was actually said. It says, Mrs. Trump's theme for this year's White House display is the spirit of America, which the Daily Beast's Alania Demopoulos called joyless and the most sterile of the First Lady's three attempts at holiday decorating. Meanwhile, the Washington Post approved of the decorations but ripped the First Lady's winter coat as ridiculous. But more than a silly fashion folly, the coat is a distraction, the Post fashion critic Robin Givhan said. It's a discomforting affectation taken to a ludicrous extreme. In a video that is intended to celebrate the warmth and welcoming spirit of the holiday season, that simple flourish exudes cold, dismissive aloofness. It's just terrible. It is absolutely terrible. And so finally, going back to Cory Booker and this whole push for diversity, for the sake of diversity, I wanted to update you on some of the things that's going on college campuses, because more and more are moving to get rid of the SAT and get rid of things like math requirements, because different ethnicities, different racial groups do better in math. And it seems like the only focus of the left now is this equality of outcome, that everybody has to be the same, that everybody has to achieve, rather than give people an opportunity to achieve, and let's let it fall where it may and see what happens. So here's a report from the Daily Caller. It says, the valedictorian of a Detroit high school is reportedly struggling with basic math in college. The development comes as colleges have increasingly rejected objective admissions criteria in the name of equity, with University of California poised to no longer require the SAT because of the racial impact it has on admissions. All right, so again, this is their effort to balance out outcomes rather than just let people excel if they can excel, fail if they can fail, do something different. It's that every race, every ethnicity has to be the same according to their left, and they will do artificial means that actually hurt people in the long run in order to achieve that. Here's more from the Daily Caller. It says, Michigan State University has pushed for admitting more racial minorities in the name of diversity. Its incoming freshman class is predicted to be the largest and most diverse in the school's history, with more than 8,400 anticipated students, the school stated in May 2018, noting the black enrollment was up 24%. But nearly half the graduates from Detroit's main school district must take remedial courses when they get to college, Chalkbeat reported. In 2016, MSU removed the requirements that all students at least take algebra in either college or high school. Algebra is taught in eighth grade in many schools. Meanwhile, Wayne State University in Detroit dropped its general education math requirement altogether. Bob Murphy, the director of university relations and policy for the Michigan Association of State Universities, told Inside Higher Ed that not requiring math will ideally lead to more successful graduation outcomes. All right, more successful graduation outcomes. Not better students, not more prepared students, not smarter students, not more capable students, but better outcomes. It's absolutely ridiculous. So folks, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe, and when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified, and we'll see you next time. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, just a little reminder before you go, and no, this does not count against my 13 minutes. Please hit the subscribe button below and tell your friends. And if you happen to miss our last show, you can check it out right here. And also for great conservative news and commentary, please check out GOPUSA.com. All right, folks, we'll see you on the next show. Have a great day.